Now, I loved to read when I was a kid. Fiction, non-fiction, didn't matter. But I always knew there were other boys who weren't natural readers. You could tell this during those painful classes when we all took turns to read around the class. Every now and then you get to that kid who would stumble his way through the paragraph and you think, oh no, here he is again. And obviously, if he read like that out loud, which is easier than reading to yourself, isn't it? Anyway, I would always think, how does that kid read at all? In Australia today, there is a significant discrepancy between the scores at reading that boys get and girls get. Girls are better readers than boys are. It seems that lots of boys aren't into reading at all, and the worrying part is that they lose interest in books as they get older. Well, two writers who are trying to do something about this with boy readers are Tony Wilson and Andrew Daddo. They've both written books in the Penguin series that aims to get boys interested in books. The series is called Stuff Happens, and each writer imagines a different character in a school. Andrew's written Stuff Happens, Ned, and Tony's written Stuff Happens, Jack. And they're both sitting in front of me right now. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Were you readers when you were kids?
No, I wasn't. But in grade six, Mick Malloy, as in the Mick Malloy, gave me a book called That Was Then, This Is Now, which is a seminal coming-of-age American book. And that was the one that turned me on to go, wow, something's actually happening in books that is sort of happening in my life as well, and that was the moment. But before that, I was the kid in the class.
Is that not a book about kids playing pool and taking drugs?
I'm not sure it's taking them. I think more it's selling.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, this sounds like a wholesome influence in your life.
Well, I actually don't even know why it resonated. I think I've got an identical twin brother. We had friends and we sort of, you know, he would have one friend and I'd have another. So it was more about that dynamic of boys and friends and splitting up and choosing and things like that, as opposed to the drugs and the pool. That was just like a little bonus, I think.
Donaire.
Oh, I loved it. And I was really lucky. My parents were very good at the bedtime read. I still remember Dad putting on the accents for The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And I got into, I remember my favourite book for a long time was Danny the Champion of the World, the great pheasant poach from Roald Dahl's. In fact, we're going to be talking a bit about this, but, you know, real life stories. It felt so real, the relationship between the father and son in that book. But, you know, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, the Judy Blume books. I was prolific and keen and
at that
fortunate
time,
on that front.
Did it seem weird to you, Tony? I mean, were you under the impression that other boys were reading too?
Well, you know, I absolutely understand what you're talking about, that a lot of boys weren't into it. And the most popular book at the Deep Dean Primary School Library was the Ibarrack 4 series. And the one I loved was Ibarrack for Hawthorne. And basically it was just a page with a sketch of an AFL footballer saying Lee Matthews is really tough, he runs through packs. You know, and everyone just loved, it was kind of like reading was wasting time that could be usefully spent, you know, looking at footy records.
Yeah, but this is an important information. If you don't know who Lee Matthews is and you don't know that he's tough, that he's lethal.
That's right. I loved that book too, which is why I still remember it. So I think I was fortunate to have the combined interest of kind of the blokiness, but with the influence of my parents, which actually did get me reading.
Mm. So Andrew, what was the brief here to write these Stuff Happens books?
It was to write something that would A, get kids reading, but also for kids to talk about or be able to acknowledge the fact that they have feelings on many different levels in some pretty normal areas. That's how I sort of approached it.
Boys in particular or boys and girls?
But I think boys specifically was the target. So there was never any discussion, I don't know about you, Tony, but about maybe you could have a girl or about a girl. It was definitely about boys and then being able to just talk about their feelings. Because, you know, as men, historically, we're not great at it. And for boys to be able to go, oh, man, this stuff's happening to someone else.
Like, for example, Susanna asked, after I'd done my first draft, Susanna had commissioned the series, Susanna McFarlane, and she said, can you have an actual conversation where the boy voices his problem with a male role model?
And the answer is no.
Well, she wanted that in the book. But whether we can do it in real life is a question, Michael. But in the book, there is, I don't know if you were asked to have a scene like that.
I was asked to take a whole bunch of things that were hilarious because I think they were hilarious and fairly disgusting because I think one of the ways to get boys reading is to get their attention, and the best way to get their attention is with humour, yeah. and then they can get those messages afterwards. So, you know, I had this great scene where this kid vomits the teacher's hamburger all over the teacher, but it was the build-up of the onion and the tomato sauce and the mustard, and I'm writing, I'm laughing, you know, yeah. and she just went, she's nah. But we got a middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe your book should have a deleted scene section.
That's a great idea, actually. Maybe on the website there should be a...
I guess... I hope the vomit scene. I hope these don't sound like they're didactic titles that are sitting there,
holier than thou
with we're going to make boys think about feelings. Mm. I mean, it's all being done by stealth, I hope, with a really fun story. You know, mine's about shoe kicking and broken arms and fights and whether it was a violent game.
In the paper today in Sydney, Tony's stories, the game is you play, you pay. And then there's a story in the front page of the paper and a picture of a broken arm that looks like plasticine. And they've played a game that's been banned thousands of times at the school. And there's the broken arm. So it's actually
yours. It's come true. Yeah. My story's come true.
I don't know this game.
So it's an invented game. And kids, and this is kind of getting to the point of the book, which is that kids are very inventive with their violent and banned games, boys in particular. And this is an honesty issue. A boy invents a very violent game, gets hurt playing it, but then basically lies to dull down his own punishment. But it means another boy's punishment gets ramped up because he has tackled in a chasey game. And so it's about honesty and stepping up for this boy who is definitely getting in worse trouble because my boy, Jack, won't tell the truth.
When I was a boy, we did play very rough and tumble games.
I think that's part of being a boy, and so I think they're really important games. So, I mean, I've got three kids, but I've got one son, and I see the vigour that he runs out onto an AFL field or a rugby field with, and he just loves to just smash and be smashed because it's part of that whole, you know, male collective wrestling. Mom, you know, it's great.
My mum used to just the buttons coming off. Every week we lose buttons on the school
British
uniform.
Bulldog. British Bulldog. how much fun was Brandy? Remember?
Yeah.
I got Manalyzer. It was just that was it. Normal. Brandy. Run against the wall.
Brandy's basically, where you throw a ball as hard as you can at the other kid.
Yeah.
We better have some readings. Are you going to read some of your book, Andrew? What do we need to know?
So Ned has snuck back into the classroom and he's going to just put my glasses on because
you need them. Give us the super short version so that Tony gets a go. Rightio.
Okay. And so this is his sister at the dining room table at that night. Hang on, said Misty. Why did you eat Miss Lucas's cheeseburger? I mean, she's like the teacher and they have their lunch in the staff room. Did you go into the staff room? Why would you go into the staff room? It was in our classroom. She put the burger into a time capsule to see how long it would last. Makes sense. So it was like her lunch or it wasn't her lunch. I'm confused. Why would she put her lunch in a time capsule? Misty was looking at me as if I was the stupidest person in the world. Did she actually catch you eating her cheeseburger? No, I'm not an idiot. So how'd you get caught? Well, she came in just as I was finishing eating it. I told her I didn't, but there was a bit of pickle on my chin and she breath tested me. Have you ever smelt one of those burgers? Like really smelt them? It's not as if you'd confuse it with a cheese and Vegemite sandwich. And lettuce, said Mum. I always put in lettuce. You let her smell your breath, said Dad. That's how you got caught? Dang, this just gets weirder. And you said you didn't eat it. That's lying. That's bad. After she breath tested you, did you keep lying? I wasn't sure what the answer was. Dad's face was saying I should have, but his voice was saying I shouldn't. He looked hopeful, but he sounded cross.
Yeah. Yeah, that captures it. That's just about what the book's about, really. Tony.
So my boy's Jack, and he's being visited by Fatty, and Fatty is getting in the big trouble for breaking his arm. But Fatty wants to say sorry for breaking his arm as well, and my boy feels guilty because he's got Fatty into deeper trouble. He wasn't wearing the baggy black shorts and runners that he wore every day at school. He was wearing a crisply ironed white shirt and black pants with a crease. His shoes were black and shiny. It was like he'd gone to a special effort. "It's Bruiser," he said as I opened the door. "I know it's not the best Lego, but I didn't have enough money for the A-Wing Starfighter. That's what I wanted to get you." "You bought it yourself?" I said, disbelievingly. I'd never bought a present for another kid myself. Mum always did the buying. Fatty nodded. "I'm really sorry, Jack. Sometimes I'm just too big and clumsy." He pointed at my cast. That's my fault. I swung you too hard. Fatty finally managed to look at my face. He handed over the Lego. Now I felt like I couldn't look at him. Fatty, you know it wasn't your fault. There were heaps of kids who jumped on me. It was a proper stacks on. It might not even have been you. It probably was, Fatty said. I don't know. Anyway, hope you like the Lego. He headed back up the drive. My throat was suddenly tight. I thought of what I'd said to Principal Davies and of the plans I'd made with Dan and Benj. If we said it was a chasey game, the teachers would think Fatty was the only one who'd broken the rule. They'd punish him for being the rough tackler. He turned to leave. I had to say something. Fatty, I have to tell you something. Dad's voice spilled through from the kitchen. Jack, chops and veggies on the table.
I'm on the edge of my seat. What are they going to say?
It's a great book.
That's wonderful stuff. Yeah. I wonder whether the thing with boys not reading, it's got something to do with fiction and non-fiction, whether boys are more interested in stuff that tells them, you know, real-world information, that made-up stories are just not so interesting to boys.
Well, I think the most common books pitched at boys tend to be fantasy books or adventure books, and you often see the kind of and comedy books as well, like Andrew and has had great success writing, and also art, and also Andy Griffiths and those sorts of books. But I guess what girls get is books that are pitched in the real world. There's more of those, and it's quite rare to get boys' books pitched in the real world.
Yeah, and I think the hope with this series, which is really a good hope, is that, you know, you might read it with your dad, or the dads might read it with their boys, and then share their own stories. So create, you know, and like redefine that whole thing of, well, I know you've done that. Guess what? Look at what I did. I did some stuff. And so all of a sudden, it's not just about reading. It's about talking and communicating with your, and so, you know, with your mentors.
And so you've got a funny scene where something goes up the flagpole at school. I mean, you can kind of relive your own pranks that you pulled on teachers at school.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
And you could elaborate. You could embroider the misdemeanors also, of your own childhood.
And you just say, here's what I did, and I did get in trouble, so don't you go doing it.
That's it.
We did play this violent shoot-kicking game too.
Thank you for coming in, gentlemen. It's been great to talk.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Michael.
Tony Wilson, his book is called Stuff Happens, Jack. Andrew Daddo, his book is called Stuff Happens, Ned. They're both published by Penguin. And I'd love to hear your strategy about getting boys to read, your strategies. I swallowed that word. Your strategies for getting boys to read. Tell us, go onto Twitter or onto a website, leave a comment. Tell us how you're getting boys to read. Across Australia, this is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily.